That committee report is from Trustee Fitzgerald, who is Chair of the Governance, Personnel, and Ethics, and I would remind everyone that also Trustee, in addition to Trustee Fitzgerald, Trustee Holmes and Courts are on the committee. Pat, would you please begin your presentation?
Be delighted to. So the Governance, Personnel, and Ethics Committee met on July 9th, earlier this month via video conference at the Urbana, Chicago, and Springfield campuses with Trustee Courts and I in attendance. The committee approved the minutes of the prior two meetings that were held on April 23rd and June 12th of this year. We also reviewed and recommended that seven items within the purview of the committee proceed to today's agenda for board consideration, which I think are items 1 to 7. They involve appointments to the faculty, administrative professional staff, and intercollegiate athletic staff. They also involve promotions in academic rank and change in tenure for 2015 to 16. They involve the appointment of deans for the College of Business in Urbana, the Graduate College in Urbana, and the College of Law in Urbana. They involve extending the term of the Dean of the College of Media in Urbana and appointing an acting dean for the College of Public Affairs and Administration in Springfield. We also had a presentation from Ms. Maureen Parks, the Associate Vice President for Human Resources, who gave us an update on the university's Civil Service Merit Board and potential changes to the state university's civil service system. She reported on the status of the recommendations made to address issues and concerns with the civil service system and stated that she's looking forward to working with the interim executive director of the Merit Board. We had a further presentation from Ms. Parks concerning an update on the background check policy. She discussed the types of employees who are contemplated would be subject to a background check, the type of background checks to be conducted, and the cost. We are expecting a fuller presentation and proposal at the next meeting, which will be the end of the month. Ms. Jennifer Creasy, the Assistant Director of Government Relations, gave a capital report and discussed the state budget, the state appropriation to the university, and continued advocacy work on behalf of the university. Mr. Walt Knorr then reported on the finances and referred to much uncertainty due to the state's budget. He addressed concerns related to the university payroll and said that resources would be used to pay employees. He further commented on the university administration's hiring freeze, renewal of academic appointments, health care and pensions costs, and the fiscal year 2015 receivable, all of which I think he covered here today. The committee then met in executive session to consider university employment or appointment related matters, and then we concluded by scheduling the next meeting for August 27th, 2015 at 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? All right, hearing none, the next report will be the University Healthcare Systems Committee. Trustee Courts chairs the committee, and also Trustee Estrada and Fitzgerald serve on the committee. Tim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The University Healthcare System Committee met on Thursday, July 9th via video conference at Chicago, Urbana, Springfield, and Rockford. Joining me representing the Board of Trustees was Trustee Estrada. Also attending were many dignitaries from the UI faculty and staff, and I'd like to thank them all for their participation. The first order of business was for the committee to review agenda items to be put forward to the entire board for a vote today. The committee felt all items pass muster and should go forward for a full vote. They are number 29, reappoint members to the Advisory Board, Division of Specialized Care for Children in Springfield, Chicago. 27, approve affiliation agreement with the Carl Foundation establishing the Carl Illinois College of Medicine, Urbana. Number 35, purchase recommendations involving a $3.1 million expenditure for 1 year of radiation oncology services for our patients provided by the University of Chicago. And I was told that they're still not using, they're not still using the pile under Stagg Field for this.
That's good, Tim.
Next, the committee enjoyed the second of our series of collaboration highlights involving UIC and UIUC. Dr. Subha Pandey described the work of his group at UIC on the epigenetic effects of alcoholism, of which much data analysis is carried out on the Urbana campus by Dr. Victor Jonganeel. We thank both gentlemen for their fascinating presentation and applaud them on their insightful research. The remainder of the meeting was spent reviewing subcommittee reports. briefly regarding patient safety initiatives. We have plenty of room for improvement, but I'm happy to say that all trends are moving in the right direction. Probably the best news of the meeting involved hospital finances. Whereas we faced the beginning of fiscal year 15 expecting a $40 million loss, we now project a net profit of almost $10 million. Do you want me to say that again? Everybody catch that?
Wow.
This is multifactorial, and I will attempt to summarize. First, we are growing the business. Inpatient census remains high. Discharges were up 9.3%, which is a reflection of the efficiency of caring for patients who are admitted. Surgeries are up 8%. Also, we're seeing significant increase in outpatient visits. We have benefited from some regulatory changes giving windfall payments and also have instituted sweeping cost controls. I give a lot of credit for this to our relatively new CEO, Avijit Ghosh, armed with his sharpened pencils and keen business mind. But I'm sure Avijit would be the first to tell you that the credit goes to the entire hospital team, including VPHA Bauman, various deans, department chairs, et al., for a notable improvement in collaboration and cooperation among all players to make this impressive turnaround. I would like to take this opportunity to publicly acknowledge and applaud our entire team for their dedication and service. Our financial goal is to achieve an operating margin approaching 4%, essential to be able to grow our clinical programs, offer new therapies and services, and to address our deferred maintenance and also invest in our physical plant going forward. I will conclude now by stating that our next committee meeting will be held at 2:15 p.m., 27 August, same venues. Now, unless there are any questions for me, I would like to turn the meeting over to Dr. Ghosh. At our previous meeting, he gave his vision of the future of our health system, and I thought it would be helpful for all board members to hear this too, and I think you will find it very interesting.
Very good.
Unless there are questions, I'll turn the floor over to Avijit.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you, Trustee Koritz. Thank you, really, for the opportunity to outline the strategic agenda for the University of Illinois Hospital and Clinics. Mr. Chairman, I am not going to try to compete with Walt Knorr on entertainment value, but I hope you'll find my message more optimistic than his description of the state's fiscal issues.
Thank you, sir.
My presentation is brief, but it represents the work of input from many people over the past year. I want to especially thank Chancellor Emeritus, Vice President Bauman, Dean Azar, the clinical department heads, and the senior staff of the hospital for their input. Now, the title of the slide says an agenda for the future. But I think it's important to note that at the outset, the future is actually here today. It is now what we're talking about. And speaking of now, as Dr. Corey said, we started this year really with severe challenges. And when this board appointed me last year, this board made it very clear that reversing that financial picture should be an immediate task. And while the end of the year fiscal statements are still being put together, as Dr. Corey says, we feel pretty good in stating that the numbers, when the numbers are all in, will have a positive rather than a negative number. And hopefully it will be the 10 million, but somewhere in there. Probably more around between 5 and 10 million, somewhere there. Really, a number of factors have helped us turn around. One key has been the operational improvements we've achieved. The first two quarters of this year were quite challenging. But some of the initiatives we put in place started having its impact in the final two quarters, such as controlling cost, improving efficiency, better revenue management. All of these factors played a role. Growing the number of people we serve, and as Dr. Corey said, whether it's inpatient or outpatient, number of surgeries, we served a lot more people this year than we have done in the past. And that was very important. And then the fact that some key public policies the impact of those, like Medicaid rates, were less negative than we had hoped, than we had expected, also played a part. So I want to take this opportunity to thank every single member of the UI Health family for their hard work and dedication that has made this possible. So we have put together our strategy to achieve on this platform to extend our mission and goals so that we can achieve our aspiration and to take Don Chambers, and I'll try to summarize it in 12 words. Okay. Our aspiration is to become one of the preeminent academic health centers in the country. To extend our mission, we have to think about two things. First, as the state hospital, our goal is to improve the health of the citizens of Illinois by providing clinical care, and quite often, to some of the most vulnerable citizens in this country, and by reducing health disparities. An equally important goal is to support the education and research mission of the university by helping to train the next generation of healthcare leaders and advancing knowledge. Our strategy is also consistent with the changes in the healthcare industry. In the past, this board has heard from me and others of how healthcare is changing and the challenges it poses for hospitals. Most hospitals around the country are in a difficult position. They have one foot in the old fee-for-service world and another poised for the new value-based world. Our strategy follows Wayne Gretzky's advice. We will skate to where the puck is going to be, not where it is today. So we are moving forward on a two-pronged approach. The first prong is our population health initiative. Under Dr. Bauman's leadership, we have taken a giant step forward in population health by establishing our own ACE, our Accountable Care Organization, which we call UI Health Plus. 40,000 individuals are enrolled in this program, many of whom are in great need of healthcare. Through this program, we have taken responsibility for all aspects of their healthcare. Our goal is to keep them healthy and reduce the need for healthcare in its traditional sense. The state has strongly encouraged us to continue to grow this program in collaboration with managed care organizations. We are also managing a number of other population health initiatives. The federally funded CHECK program, for example, provides comprehensive multidisciplinary care coordination for nearly 6,000 high-risk pediatric patients. The goal is to improve their health and also reduce the cost of healthcare. The EPIC program is focused on patients who are frequent visitors to an emergency room in an effort to reduce readmissions to the hospital. Unfortunately, many of these frequent users lack permanent housing, which inhibits care when they leave the hospital. So later this year, we'll be joining the Better Health Through Housing Initiative and investing $250,000 annually to ensure that patients have a place to recuperate and receive follow-on care when they leave the hospital. This is the new world of healthcare, and we are committed to excel in it. Now, the second part of our strategy is to serve as a regional hub for providing high acuity, tertiary, and quaternary care. As an academic health center, we provide state-of-the-art care for complex medical conditions. Patients from all across the region come to U of I Hospital for such care. Last month alone, over 400 patients were transferred from other hospitals to University of Illinois Hospital. By the way, the number of transfers this year has increased by 15% over what we have traditionally done in the past. This is what academic health centers do, and we must continue to excel in being a regional hub for high-level care. So population health in one side and a regional hub strategy in the other, two together creates a viable opportunity. Both the regional hub and the Population Health Initiative also provide vibrant platforms for supporting and leveraging education and research. The regional hub strategy will support clinical trials in many areas, in addition to some of the trials about cancer, which you have heard about before. Just consider the research being performed to test the efficacy of islet transfers to cure certain kinds of diabetes. Over 25 such transplants have been performed at E of I, and most of these people are living insulin-free lives, including a patient who has now been insulin-free for over 9 years. Sickle cell is another of those diseases that leaves you dependent on medicine for life. In an attempt to defeat that disease, physicians at E of I are treating some of those patients with a novel stem cell therapy. So far, 12 people have received this therapy, and majority of them have returned to productive lives. This is the kind of research we can support within this hospital. The Population Health Initiative also opens up the possibility of research. Research on new multidisciplinary care delivery models, research on effective care coordination, research on how to manage chronic diseases, how to reduce rehospitalization. These are important issues that we must tackle, and the opportunities for creating new knowledge in these areas are boundless. What all this means for us is a transformation from essentially a standalone hospital and clinic at the corners of Walcott, Wood, and Taylor to becoming an integrated system of healthcare delivery. As depicted here, 4 different aspects need to be integrated into our strategy and our operations. First is the network of affiliations with hospitals with a mission to care for the underserved and promoting health equity. If you look at the map of Chicago, you will find a large number of safety net hospitals who serve populations similar to those who we serve too. They're vital to their communities, yet they often struggle to offer the tertiary and quaternary high-level care that their patients need. As a university-based academic health center and as a state hospital, we hope to form a network of affiliations and partnerships to help these hospitals provide care to their communities and serve as their tertiary and quaternary hub. This is a vital aspect of our strategy. Second, as you have heard before, growing our Population Health Initiative, especially UI Health Plus, is another important plank of our strategy. The third component is to expand our outpatient clinic locations to become more community-based. The Mars Square clinics provide an important starting point for this, but we need to create greater community presence throughout the city, especially in areas such as Pilsen and Chinatown. Finally, we need to integrate the hospital more closely with the colleges on campus, especially the 7 health science colleges. The geographical proximity of this hospital and the 7 health science colleges is an asset that has not been fully leveraged, and to create new healthcare delivery models, we are in a unique position to really serve that need. Each of these 4 components are necessary to successfully implement our strategy. Now, successfully moving forward will also involve improving hospital operations. As you have heard before, we have started a number of initiatives to do that, but we need to continue to increase our scale by serving more people. We must continue to improve efficiency and reduce cost, and continue to improve clinical outcomes. A number of these initiatives have already been launched and has helped us this year, and will continue to diligently continue on this path. Now, making these improvements often raise issues because you have to challenge status quo. But what we have found and will continue to do, that as long as you put the patient first, you can make hard decisions become much easier. I would like to end by noting that our ability to implement our strategy is critically dependent on making adequate investments. Adequate investments in our physical infrastructure, in our clinical infrastructure, and in our information infrastructure. Healthcare business today is a business about data. And we are lagging behind many of our peers because of inadequate investments. We really need to ramp up those investments. So it's important for us to earn a profit at the end of the day, because then we can then invest those income back into hospital to serve. We'll obviously be prudent in those investments, but the hospital needs to retain the margin it earns to be able to make these investments. We'll also try to be efficient in our capital allocation by creating shared service operations with some of the hospitals in the area. There are four hospitals in the area right next to each other. For example, we might potentially share investments in a pathology lab or similar kinds of operations. Finally, we need to create an organizational governance model for the hospital that allows us to form partnerships, affiliations, and shared governance structures with other hospitals in order to expand our scale and our impact. The healthcare industry today is full of examples of partnerships. Partnerships even between private and public enterprises, partnerships between academic health centers and private hospitals. The ability to act nimbly and make decisions quickly is another imperative. So in ending, I urge the President and the Board to consider taking the necessary steps to facilitate organizational change that will allow us and give us the flexibility to form affiliations and partnerships and implement our strategy and fulfill our ambition. Worse, without affiliations and partnerships, we are likely to lose relevance in this highly competitive Chicago market. We are confident that we can achieve our goals. Our success is not preordained, but we'll earn it through our diligent efforts. Thank you for this opportunity.
any questions?
20 seconds less than given.
Anything further, Tim?
No, I mean, Avija's last points, dovetail with one of the themes that was brought up repeatedly yesterday, the necessity for us to approach the state on organizational issues and procurement issues, and that applies significantly to the hospital as well. So.
You bet. Avija, thank you. Thank you for parachuting in and being a real worker in that process with the hospital and working on initiatives and giving us thoughts about where we're going in the future. And also thank you for getting back. I know you just arrived back in the States a few hours ago, and I thank you so much for being back here to make the presentation. We'll look forward to learning more in the future. Thank you. Tim, does that conclude your presentation?
Yes, unless anyone has any questions.
Excuse me? Yeah, unless there's any questions. None. All right.